have to invite you for supper every single night. Thanks for that message, by the way, Chris. It really touched my heart. God is faithful. I'm quickly going to pray for us, and we're going to kick off just what God has laid on my heart. Just close your eyes. God, we lift up our hearts to you this morning. We lift up our eyes, our faith, our heart's eyes, as it were, to you this morning. God, no sermon, no words of man can open up the eyes of man. No words of man can touch the heart so deeply than your hands and your heart can touch our lives. Lord, we give this message to you this morning. We give your heart. We lift up your heart this morning. We say, Lord, please come and touch our lives. Come and open up our eyes where we need to see. Come and just touch our ears where we need to hear. God, there's different things that different people will get from this today, but I thank you that your Spirit will deliver it. God, like never before, I'm just putting out my faith and seeking you and asking, Christ, will you grant us faith? Will you grant us the ability to see the things of the Spirit? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We're kingdom kids. We're called to see the unseen. We're not called for the seen. We're not called to base and build upon what is seen. We're called to base and build and to follow upon what is unseen. God, have mercy and grace upon us this morning. And whoever hears this message in a later stage, to them as well. But first and foremostly to me. I thank you, Father God. May we tap in like never before this morning. Lord, albeit here or in the mother's room or later on, but may we tap in to what you want to bring this morning. In Jesus' name. We've been chatting about being anchored, but you can relax. Don't have the shirt on today. I'm not going to preach on being anchored because I guess you all are stuck in being anchored already, and you're heeding to the voice of God. But we'll come back to it. Don't you worry. We'll definitely come back. I like a fair bit of vision. And I know that God speaks to us very specifically and prophetically about that. So we'll come back to that. On Monday night, we had Men's Monday. And AB's not here this morning, but AB's got a way in worship. He's probably physically almost the biggest guy in church, but he likes worship. And he likes it kind of free. And he likes it kind of loud. So we had Men's Monday at his house, and I think you would probably hear it. He's up in Parklands North, but you'll probably have been able to hear the music here. So we had a kind of a cool time in the presence of God. And there was really a freedom. And what struck was not the song, was not the lyrics, but it was the freedom of AB's heart in the presence of God that really touched me. It was just, it's so upstream. It's so not what this Afrikaans guy should be doing, and yet God has just delivered him. And he's just big, and he's big on worship, and he's big on freedom in the Lord's sight. And so in that moment, I'm still kind of thinking, is this good, is it not? And I realize it is brilliant. God just drops a word in my spirit, just clearly, poof. In that moment of freedom, he just drops a word in my spirit. And I knew it's for today. And I knew it was something that he wants to share to us. So please, guys, don't look to me. Don't even, yes, listen to the words I speak, but don't even listen to me. Really trust that God will speak into your heart this morning. Because I believe it's a stretch maybe for us. But I really believe that if a seed, a golden, incorruptible, righteous seed is sown this morning, it can have a massive effect. But I'll get to that word a little bit later. I'm going to go to scripture first, which is always a good thing when you're in church. It's to go to scripture. And I've read this story before, but it's just a canvas. It's just a backdrop for what I believe God wants to tell us this morning. So we can go to the scripture reading, and you all know it, but please just, again, open up your ears. May the Spirit whisper something profoundly in your heart today. Thank you very much. Matthew 14:13-21. Everybody's heard the story, but let's just see what the Holy Spirit reveals to us individually this morning. When Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he stepped ashore, he saw a huge crowd, felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. By the way, that's kind of a big thing. Stepped off the boat, he had compassion for them. He wasn't self-occupied, thinking, man, how's my hair? Do I have my collar up, collar down? Do I have my skinny jeans on? Is it what shoes, sneakers? What should I wear? What would the crowds like? Should I wear my specs today or not? No, he wasn't. He had compassion. He had a love for people. So that's maybe something we can take out of that firstly. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, and go to the next slide. Thank you. This place is a wilderness, and it is already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. So now the disciples, you know who they were. They were around Christ. He was healing the sick. It was a massive crowd, or big crowds. And they realized, man, he is a bit of a problem. Just the other day, I know it was probably over 1 million. We had the It's Time event. It was organized in 6 weeks, and it was a massive story, but I can just think of the logistics that need to go into something like that. Toilets, food if you need, water, security, etc., etc. And so the disciples was actually just compassionate towards the need of this big crowd. They don't need to go away, verse 16, Jesus told them. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here, they said to him. Bring them here to me, he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up in heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was filled. Then they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And so today we're not going to have an in-depth study of this piece of scripture. You guys know it, but I'm going to point to it now and again as a soundboard, as a backdrop, what I believe God is saying to us as a people, what he might be saying to 3 of you, very specifically in your life today. And so that's why I'm trusting that God will really make sure by his grace, that those messages will be put into your hearts. Now, what is the heart of the message today? It's very simply this. God uses ordinary things for extraordinary purposes. God uses ordinary things for extraordinary purposes. And he chose the very ordinary thing in me to share the message today. But you as an ordinary thing can also be used in an extraordinary manner. So on Monday, the word he dropped in my heart was just potential. It's just very simple. We're going to look at the definition shortly, but potential. When you look at when you scroll down on Facebook and you see photos of the T of Arthur's Kloof Dam, do you see potential? Okay, my wife does. Hallelujah. When you read the news and the atrocious things that are currently happening many times in our country to women, to people, to children, can you, by the grace of God, still see potential? When you hear what is going on in the politics, do you see potential? When you see what terrorist groups are doing out in Europe and in the UK, a place where my heart also burns for the kingdom to come, do you see potential? When things are going very weird again with the neighbors and you just hear funny noises and sounds and shouts and screams, can you still see potential? They look at 3 beautiful young boys that will become young men being dedicated to them this morning. Do you see potential? And I believe God is just tugging on our hearts. Can you still see the extraordinary in the ordinary? It's a bit of a cliche, but in bringing our natural, he can add his super, and can you still see the supernatural? Can you? Don't look too convinced. But we're trusting that God will just come and impart. On Monday night, I just saw there in a moment of worship, which looks like foolishness to the world. Harde doof doof musiek. En mans wat staan of sit of lê en sing. Dis vreemd. Man, dis baie vreemd. But you know what I saw? I saw potential. I just again saw world changes. I saw sons of God being righteous seeds that can be sown into the nations and that can turn nations around. That's what I saw. But by the Spirit in me. And so I believe, can you look at your kids? Can you look at your kids in this country? Can you look in your kids in this world and still have a moment, I want to call it, of sanity? In law, they speak about a lucidum intervallum. It's like a helder tussen oomblik. You just like, when somebody commits a crime, they just have a moment where they can actually just focus. Can we have these focused moments by the grace and the Spirit of the Lord to see potential afresh? Or are we just going to follow the stream of negativity and destruction? I believe God always sees potential. Who believes God gives up? Who believe God gives up? Or does God always see potential?
Okay. Claude Blacklick maak hier jokes ook. Met Dominique.
God always has a plan. But corny again, but we as people, sometimes or many a times, just think about our culture. We see problems, yet God has the ability to see what? Plans. We see problems, God sees prophecies. We see problems, God sees potential, probabilities, possibilities, promises. There's a lot of P's. And if you can just take a couple of them with you, this can change, not my message, but the Lord can change your life. It just depends on what we see and if we are willing. What are the lenses through which I'm looking at life? This morning, even at looking at you guys, I can choose by the grace of God. He has renewed my mind or not. But I can have different lenses through which I look at you guys this morning. And likewise, you at me. And afterwards at the coffee table, there's lenses that we look through if we see somebody. If you walk out here and you see dry beds and you see grass not the way they should look, there's lenses we're looking through. And my question is very simply this, guys. Are we looking through the lenses of God saying that we are followers of Christ? Or are we just merely mimicking the lenses of our culture, the lenses of the world? Are we eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or am I eating from the tree of life, as Edna said, Christ himself? Am I saying, Christ, you're the way, the truth, and the life? Christ, you are the lens. As ek 'n bril wil hê, is dit nie teerder op rainbands nie, nee, dit is Jesus Christus. That was a joke.
I hope I have potential. Moving on.
Am I looking through the lenses of experience, economy, culture, family, or the flesh? Or am I going to look through the eyes, the lenses of Christ? Now, what is the word potential? What does it mean? You can go to the definition. Thank you. Having or showing the capacity to develop into something in the future. Possible, likely, prospective future. Probable, budding, in the making. I like this part. I just put in the hidden there. But latent qualities. I would say hidden qualities. Hidden qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. I think we all understand it. Guys in business, you guys understand this. Is there potential in this deal or is there not? Is there potential in this market or is there not? Is there potential in this candidate, this person, this business or not. But we're going to look at this spiritually today, latent, hidden qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success. Is there something in your life, by the way, that you can look at, that you can think about now, that you cannot see any potential in? Be honest, come. Let's be honest. Is there? Yes. The rest of you guys, any honest guys on this side? I see potential in honesty. Yes, hallelujah. Donkey. Sure. Not that we have to have those. We don't want to stay around and camp around negativity. But there is sometimes things that you just feel, man, is there any potential in this? And guys, this can be a thing. It can be something in your life. It can be an area of your life. Or it can be a person. It can be a people group. It can be our country. It can be politics. I can even ask, do you see potential in our president? With the God we serve, can you see that? Can you see potential in Zimbabwe? It's not to be funny. It's just saying, who's the God we serve? Who are we listening to? And I'm not saying I'm getting this right, by the way, especially with the politics. I'm just using it as a very good example. I'm not saying I'm walking it. But anyway, God will help me. So synonyms for potential is possibilities, potential, prospects, promise, capabilities, capacity, etc., etc. Just there with the second last one in bold, hidden qualities or abilities that may develop and lead to future success or usefulness. And I wrote in here, or significance. How often do we see people and you don't necessarily see significance in the way you define it? Yet the question is, God, I want to tap in. I just quickly want to know, what do you see in this person that's either contracted towards me or somebody that gives a service or somebody that, boy, I could not care less what they think about me. But God, what do you see? Do you see promise? Do you see potential? Now, I think we can honestly say, if you don't see potential in something, it means you do not have hope. Jenny shared something deep out of her heart this morning, but I trust this morning that God will again, when she says there's an area in my life that I really do struggle to see hope, that God through His grace can come and give hope again. Because once you grab hold of godly hope, biblical hope, not a false hope, because then you get surprised down the line again, but if you have hope, you can see potential. So she's this one person, including myself, that I'm trusting, God, is there hope? Now, going back to our scripture, the loaves and fishes, and just looking at potential elsewhere, just quickly go back, because I believe we can learn something from the disciples and from Christ. The disciples saw what? They saw a problem. Here's a major problem. A groot crowd, niks kos nie. You see, choppies nie, is niks nie. So they saw a massive problem. Moreover, it was wilderness, a remote place, and we need to send them somewhere. Now, what was the instinct? They've been walking with Christ. They have seen the miracles being done. Two sentences up, they saw the sick being raised in a massive crowd. Yet when there's not lunch, they freak out. Who can kind of see themselves in that? Hey guys, that's what we do. God does a massive thing. And then, what do? They see with the carnal eyes. They see we're in the wilderness. Yes, near 7-Eleven over Kentucky. What are we going to do? And the second thing what they do is about, I believe we do in our culture years later now, is they think money. This thing can be fixed if we have enough money, and we do not have enough money. Because how many wages do we need to buy them each a morsel, something small? So they see with the carnal eyes, and then they realize, yes, he indeed is a problem. And I'm not saying, hey, let's be naive, there's no problem. We can be honest if there's a problem. I'm just saying, how do we approach it? The disciples said, major problem, wilderness, no food to eat. How can we fix this? We think money. We need enough money. And so maybe one or two of you guys can see just that thinking in your own lives. But Jesus saw what? They saw problem. Jesus saw potential. He saw the supernatural trumping the natural. He saw heaven invading earth. He saw God's hand overcoming? I want to say the hand of Mammon. Can I say that scripturally? Thank you. Three heads nodding. I believe I can say that. So the disciples saw limit. Christ saw potential in one sacrifice. So there was what? What was the sacrifice? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now before we chat too much about that, where else is there great stories of potential that you know about? Where somebody or something, the circumstances of a person or people looking down, seemingly down and out, and yet God coming through. Let's quickly look at Scripture. Remember Jonah. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah saw a major problem. He was running from God. Yet God saw this man that is running and hiding from me. He's the key that I'm going to use to save Nineveh. By the way, his heart, Jonah's heart wasn't even in it. He was quite ticked off by the fact that God saved the people. Weird story. But anyway, he saw a major problem. What are you going to do with me? You're going to kill me. God saw, here's my answer to Nineveh. Moses, but Lord, I cannot speak. How are they going to know I'm from you? It's not on there. You can just, it's just something that I'm going to read through, so you can just idle there. Moses, but God, I cannot speak. How am I going to know that I'm from you? He saw problem. God said, and God saw the potential one that will lead Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, into the promised land, which is today for us a massive prophetic picture because all of us follow Moses, follow Christ into the promised land spiritually. Ezekiel 37. Just look at this of a story of potential. Remember, it's the same God we're here to gather around today. It is the same God of these couple of examples that is here present with us today, in whose presence we are here today, of who we proclaim we are the children of. It's, the scripture is not on the board, but just listen closely. Ezekiel 37, verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Frankie, you can go to the next slide for me. Another one. That one, just to, for those that don't listen to me, just stimulate it in a different way. Thank you. Another story of problem versus potential. His friends and family saw a major problem when Lazarus was dead and was started to stink after 4 days. Yet Christ saw potential. Jesse, David's father, and Samuel, the prophet, you remember the story, saw a small boy, reddish, small boy, that was out in the field tending to the sheep, not even calling him in to think maybe he can be the king of Israel, the next king. His father actually just left him in the field, didn't call him when the prophet came around to anoint the new king. Yet God saw potential. God looked at the heart. Saul, who remembers Saul in the New Testament, persecuting the church, hating Christians. He was operating like terrorist groups are doing now. Just quickly think. Just quickly pinch yourself. Make sure you're awake. Christians are being persecuted and beheaded all over the world. Some emotions come up in us, and I understand that. And we see those people in a certain way. Saul was persecuting the church. Saul was, in fact, giving a thumbs up, giving a bit of a like for the first martyr to be killed for the name of the way, for Christ. Yet Paul, the same guy, after an encounter with the Lord, after God had seen his potential of his spirit, of his will, of his life, of Christ in this one life, is the guy that wrote a majority of the New Testament. Put it in the modern context of today, just imagine a terrorist that is killing and beheading Christians should become the leader of a big movement or revival of the Lord. Guys, do you still see potential? Can you, with the eyes of the Lord, can you, with the eyes of the Spirit, see potential? Can you regard people according to the Spirit and not the flesh, as we said a couple of weeks back? Can you regard your own spouse, your best friend, whose flaws you so well know? Can you regard them by the Spirit and not the flesh? Moving on, just a couple of examples. David. David was ridiculed by his brothers. He went to go drop lunch. God loves telling stories, true stories, about and over lunch, I guess. David had to go deliver at the battlefield, deliver lunch, deliver food supplies to his brothers. He sees this giant Goliath mocking, cursing the armies of God. And he says, "Wat gaan hier aan? Gaan niemand iets hier aan doen nie? Is nobody going to put up their hand?" His brothers start ridiculing him, laughing at him, and saying, "Ach, kom, gaan kyk na die skape, ken jou plek." How often do we do that with people? They see problem, God sees potential. God knew about the lion and the bear that was slain through the hands of David. Humanity saw sin, loss, and death, but through Christ, God saw potential. We see destruction all over, but through Christ, God sees potential. Guys, are we still seeing potential? Angus Buchan, you know the story. But this is just a modern day example. There's a guy fleeing, living in a caravan, if you can believe the movie. Edna would have loved that glamping part of our ministry call. But they had to do it, living, planting potatoes in a place where you shouldn't. You know the story. And then starting to preach on the farm to the fields, not to a single soul. For most people, that will sound like a problem. God saw potential. As he opened up the back of his bucky, God on, and he started to prophesy and preach to an open field with no single soul. God was seeing with the eyes of the Spirit. God was seeing with the eyes of potential. And many years later, that righteous seed that comes up as faith, that is a beautiful aroma to God, that doesn't make sense for this world, like men dancing in a sitcom, becomes potential that I believe is a saving key for this nation. Guys, are you hearing what God is tugging on our hearts? Can we look at these things? People on the street, can you still see them with eyes of potential? Nick. Yes, just as Edna said it. Nick with an interesting surname. For me, the potential is just merely to say his surname. But there you've got a guy without limbs. Yet so beautifully, he says he's limitless. The impossibilities is limitless in his life. If somebody's got something to moan about, it might have been him in the flesh. Yet God has given him eyes. Eyes of understanding, eyes to see. Eyes to see much further and deeper. Eyes of potential. And so his life changes those. And our world would have said it should have been the other way around. Because God is carrying him around. God is his hands and feet, touching into hearts. If he can go around the world in perfect potential, godly potential, why not us? Who of you guys remember? It's as if the church has doubled and he's gone. But do you remember Shadrach? Who remembers Shadrach? He came from Burundi, hey? And so Shadrach asked, how old was Shadrach when he came down from Burundi? Yeah. He was 11. So before 11, he escaped war torn country of Burundi with his, I think, his nephew, his cousin. Two of them, I remember the story. Him telling me the story, escaped and came all the way down to South Africa, not with his parents, alone. Alone. Just quickly think. Alone. The two of them came down to South Africa. They escaped the war-torn country. And then I remember Mjohan, he's not here, they're up in Joburg, but he met him he was a car guard, a child car guard at Builder's Warehouse. And so they started to build a relationship. Karin and Shadrach started to build a relationship, and he joined the school. Now, the world would have seen an orphan refugee. An orphan refugee that is a car guard that wants a 2 rand or a 3 rand or a 5 rand from you if you park right in front of the door. That is what the eyes of the flesh saw. Yet, he finished up school, he finished his matric. When we met him, he did his maths over to get better marks, and he's currently in Canada studying medicine, if I remember correctly. And it wasn't a story in the Bible. It wasn't far off. It wasn't even as far as Oom Angus op Shalom. It was right here. It wasn't anything we did. But he just used ordinary people, sorry Karin, but like Karin, and Oom Johan, and all of you guys, to speak into his life. To say, hey, you're more than a car guard. And your identity is not orphan. Your identity is not refugee. The Spirit is saying something different. And by the way, the be-all and end-all of life is not to become a doctor either. I'm sure you can ask that to doctors. But the bottom line is there sure is a bit of potential in the leap from as 11-year-old or even younger, escaping Burundi, to now studying medicine in Canada. It's the same God. It is the exact same God that you have in your midst. I don't even have time to tell Emmy's story. Please, if you have time, and if he has time, Emmy works 6 days a week, and on Sundays he helps out at church. Talk about potential. If you have time, take Emmy out for a coffee and say, hey, tell me your story. Talk about a God of potential that sees the dry bones live. And it will just change your heart, maybe, if needed. Guys, can you see it? All of you have a story. I know that. We don't have time, but can you see it? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Please, just to make sure that we're awake, quickly just say, "All with God, all things are possible." Thanks. You've just swung me over with that amazing, exuberant cry, war cry of yours. But I see potential, guys. I see potential in scripture quoting. Believe you me, I see potential. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I told a bit of my story to George yesterday. I'm glad he still opted to let me dedicate his children today, but I can tell you stories of my life where God has just come and lifted me up. You can ask Edna. But this is the God we serve. I'm a new person. He makes all things new. But we need to tell the stories, and we need to live in the faith of the God who will emulate and do again these stories. So quickly, what do we take home today? What should we take home if we think potential, if we think hope, if we say, can I still see, Lord, with what is the eyes that I look at people? Even if I stand in the mirror, I believe that's the first place which many of us should start. Some of you look into the mirror, you see your own image in the mirror, you know your own story, and you don't see God's potential anymore. God wants to heal that today. It's very difficult to have hope for George or for Jolene or for Edna if I really don't believe I have much hope for God in my own life. And so let the Lord heal where necessary so that you can also have a hope in your own life. A couple of points. What do we need? We want this. We want to live in this ability just to see, regard according to the Spirit, not the flesh. We want to see these things happen. We want to see lunch feed 5,000 men, women, and children. Who would like to see that? We want to see a youth pastor being fed for 6 months if he doesn't have an income. We want those type of things to happen all around us, which, by the way, it does. We just don't share it that often. So what is the things we need? If I want to see true potential in my life, my kids' life, my family, this church community, your lives, this country, first thing I believe is very simple. It's like Edna said, we need Him. In life, people want to live out their potential. They want to grow to the fullest, but they don't necessarily want to do it with the Lord. The first thing that I believe we need is we need Him. What did the disciples need? Did they need money? Did the disciples need money? No. Did they need a 7-Eleven? Do you still get 7-Elevens? Of a quick spar? Did they need a quick spar? No, they did not need a quick spar. They needed Christ. Their natural had to be fused with the supernatural. Their problem had to submit, had to bow its knee to His prophetic potential. God, guys, I'm not going to stand long, too long on this point, but true potential is just the way that the Lord sees. What is potential again? Having or showing the capacity to develop into something in the future. It's a hidden quality or ability that may be developed to lead to future success or usefulness or significance. So it can grow into something. Exponentially grow into something. True potential is only from God. I believe that's it's a very fine line, but if you still think, well, I'm not too sure, then maybe not. Don't go for the potential thing. Because, yes, you've got potential. You can be really good in sport, and you can really be a good actress or a good musician or a brilliant businessman and live out a fleshly potential, but there'll be a limit to it. Humans can do a couple of things on their own. You see it all over. And so you can have a rate of success, but you need to quickly get before the Lord maybe and just say, Lord, show me what is godly potential. What is God-given potential? So true potential, I believe, is from God. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We all know the scripture. Do we live? Do we believe the scripture? Do you live and believe this scripture? Little children, you have conquered them, because the one who is great, the one who is in you, is greater than the one who is in this world. So guys, we need Him. His plan, His way, and His definition of potential. If I look at my children and say, for instance, a boy, and you just see scrum off of the Springboks. That's just the potential written all over the kid. Or fly off for the box, or the All Blacks, or whatever the case may be. You just see all of this potential. Yet that potential is not a potential born out of the heart of God. Somebody's going to get hurt somewhere. Somebody's going to get totally disillusioned somewhere. And he might just get tackled in his chops, because God has just called him and made him for something totally different. So guys, take the potential, the definition of potential, the hope, as it were, that you have, and put it in the fire of the Lord. Say, Lord, refine my hope. I shared before, Edna and I moved to the Platteland. We had a hope. We thought it was very godly. God refined it. We're back in the city, but we're happy. We found exactly what we were looking for, but we did not know what it was. Did that make sense? Oh, that's amazing. That's the Lord then. So acknowledge Him, see Him, hear from Him, and know Him. You need that relationship. Where does potential always start? It starts at John 3:16. You know it. I'm not gonna camp there. We don't have time. We're gonna start finishing up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, sacrifice, seed of sacrifice from God, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but give eternal life. Guys, God knows business better than you. I don't care how good skilled you are in business. This investment will be a good investment. It might not even in this day and age that we look at churches, we look at people, we look at converts, we look at salvations. It might not look like it's all that. But I know my Father doesn't make a bad investment. And He knows the end. One evening back, we were living in Cape Town, I prayed and I just said, Lord, how are you doing? Here, hoe gaan dit? How often do you ask God how He's doing? How was His day? Have you ever asked something like that? Okay. So I'm the weird one. Thanks, guys. So I just asked God, how are you doing? And just immediately dropped in my spirit, brilliant. And I'm like, my human nature, and this is the way in which I look at life, I'm like, you God, you see what is going on in this world, and your answer to how are you doing is brilliant, and you don't lie, so you are actually brilliant. It's not a, hi, brother, hi, sister, church type of brilliant. It's a real brilliant. And I'm just thinking, how is this possible? And then he just spoke to my spirit. I just sensed, he said, I know the end. I know the end of all of this. I know the end. And it was just such a moment. Guys, that in the midst of murders, in the midst of so much turmoil and horrible stuff happening around us, our God, that made the ultimate investment, knows the end. He's not bound to time. And you might say, yeah, that's just it's nice. But I must say, that is the faith and the hope that I carry in my heart, that my Father knows the end. That whatever we face here, whatever our country face, whatever the world face, whatever brokenness can come to the fore and try to upset our stomachs once again, our God knows the end. He knew the potential. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work with us. Guys, whatever God is doing in your life, I'm thankful for, but he can do so much more. And it's not that he needs a bit of more elbow grease. It's just saying, hey, Lord, how can I tap in? How can I see with your eyes? How can I follow so that I can walk in the fullness? So that like an Angus or like a Nick, God can bring the full potential out of my life and family or church community. Remember, natural eyes see problem and impossibilities. Spiritual eyes through the Spirit of God sees plan, prophecy, promise, and potential. Second thing, so firstly we need him. Secondly, we need relationship. It ties up. We need relationship. Many people want to see potential in life, see great potential, but they want to do it their own way. God does it through relationship, agency, and partnership. And we know just the best definition for this relationship is sonship. Don't move away. Agency sounds a bit weird, contracting style. But I just threw all of them in there. The main one is relationship through sonship. What does that mean? If I want to see the supernatural hand of God move in my life, move in my family, if I want to see your potential, I need to be connected to him through relationship. You can fake it for a while, but sure as be, the wheels do come off. So what does the word say? What does the word of God say? What is he saying to you in prayer? And what is the history that you have together? Do you have a history of testimonies of where he provided lunch for 5,000 men, women, and children? Do you remember those times where he provided supper for 6 months in a row? Do you remember those things? Do you remember his character? And if not, let's ask him to grow in that. You'll see with the disciples, it's so interesting. Christ says to them, you feed them. Did they feed them at the end of the day? Yeah, they did actually. They didn't provide, but they fed them. So Jesus was actually quite on cue. They see problem, he sees plan and potential. So he says, feed them. Could he have flicked his hand and everybody had lunch? Yes. Another thing, this is not in context of scripture, it's just something I thought of. So please just mark that as checked it. But there was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Technically, how many of those did he need actually to provide for the multitude? Couldn't he have just taken 1 loaf and 1 of the fish, and then the little boy at least had 4 left and 1 fish? That would have been so much more fair, wouldn't it? Have you ever thought so deeply about this? Probably not. It's not your job, but hallelujah. But it's quite interesting. He didn't say, ach, buti, this is so nice, man. He's for your star, thank you for the 1 broodjie, 1 visie, and then he did his miracle. No, he took everything. It actually sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? But I believe there's a principle in that. If you want your life and your potential to mean something, you're going to give everything. That's difficult in our culture. I kind of learned it the hard way, and daily I'm still learning that. But you're going to give all 5 loaves and 2 fish, even if you're a boy, and it looks cruel. Because the beautiful irony is, there was 12 baskets left over. Talk about potential. Talk about promise. Just imagine, he could have gone and said, Jesus, can I expect to terugkry met rente for my family? And he would probably have been able to do that. But it is interesting how he needed to give everything. Ezekiel the same. God said, can these bones live? God knew the answer. He said, well, you know, Lord. And then what did he do? God did not speak. I am God. I will for now speak. No. He said, you prophesy. Because you know what? As much as I want those bones to live, I want relationship with you. As much as I want to see that promise being fulfilled, I want relationship with you. I long to be with you. You get the heart of God. We want to see the supernatural. We want to see God move. But he says, hey, be a son. I can do all of these things, but I need people to partner with me. Jenny had a question on her heart. What can we do? God is to say, he's waiting to help. He's waiting to intercede for the nations. He's waiting to intercede for the women and children that gets hurt in this country. But he's to say, is there somebody willing to partner? Not give a little bit of their life on a Sunday. Is there somebody that will lay down their life? Give their whole lunch so that I can multiply the potential. So that I can do the supernatural. Which brings me to the next point, the second last one, I think. Surrender. If you want to see this potential come to fruition in our life and see it in other people's life, full surrender. I've touched on it by means of the bread and fish. The boy had to give his whole lunch. I read last night, Bill Johnson says, in order to have the peace that surpasses all understanding, it's not on there, so just listen closely. In order to have the peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up the right to understand. Boom. Ja, die Here gaf my vrede gee. Okay, cool. You just do that. But you're not going to understand. How often have I been in my quiet times crawling out there and saying to Edna, I cannot understand this. And God's just graced me with an amazing wife. Just truly with wisdom. Most of the time. And then she'll just speak a word of truth. And guys, faith is not called faith for nothing. If we say we want to see potential, we want to see potential in other people, we might not understand. If God says to Stephen, boom, do that. To Bernard, boom, do that. Bianca, boom, do that. Karine, do it. Dan gaan dit nie wees, dan gaan jy nooit dwing nie. He's not going to push you. But you might not always understand. Your spirit can have peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. But it might not be something that is in our community or culture the same thing to do. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right paths. Trust the Lord with how much of your heart? Oh, is that tough? That's tough to do, eh, guys? Let's be honest. It doesn't come natural. We grow in it. But we can honestly say it's not. Obviously, if you're standing here and I'm preaching, obviously, well, come Tuesday, come the middle of the month, come the end of the month. Then we get tested. I don't sound like that in prayer, but you get the point. Matthew 16:25. For if you want to save your life, you will lose it. If you want to protect yourself, if you want to keep your lunch, you will lose it. But if you lose your lunch for my sake, you will find it. Guys, this is the King we serve. This is where we'll see his supernatural provident hand move. This is where we'll see life and life in abundance. For if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. This is the second last one. God calls us into obedience. We want to see potential in other people's lives, potential in our lives. We want to always have a hope. Walk in obedience. Walk in obedience to the Word. Are you living what the Word says by the conviction of the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, this is a big part where we actively subject the problems foreseen with the eyes of the flesh. So all of the things that we've been thinking about, we submit it to truth, to Christ, to the Word. And in such submission, seeing it changed, we now see with spiritual eyes by the Holy Spirit, and we can see the God-given potential. This, which is a renewed hope and faith. A renewed hope by faith. So whatever the problem is, whatever you face, like the disciple faced, you need to submit it to Christ. You need to bring it back to Him. Then you need to surrender all. And in relationship, poof, He can start moving. He can start showing. Your eyes can light up again to have and see potential. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That means to His everything. Not to some of your life to some of God. All of your life to all of God. He helps you. Obviously, we don't get this right every single day. He's gracious and He helps us, but at least have the heart of surrender. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lastly, make sure that you have faith and hope. If you want to see potential in others, you want to see potential in life, make sure that you have faith and hope. I'm going to skip one verse and just end off with 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Will you stand with me, please? But as it is written, eye has not seen, thank you, Lord, fleshly eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Thank you, God, that You grace us this morning with a love for You. A love that firstly came from You, not from us. It came from You. So I ask, Lord, that You'll just help and anoint each and every heart. Give us the capability, the ability to love You. And then as we love You, Lord, thank You that You will touch our eyes spiritually. You will touch our hearts to again see potential, to again see by the ways of faith, to again have hope, Lord, in hopeless situations. Have faith in broken situations. See potential where there's destruction, death, and decay. Thank You, Christ. The Word says in John 10:10, Jesus came to give life and life. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and life in abundance. Christ, we want Your lenses. Christ, we want Your heart. Christ, we need to see through Your eyes. I just believe we can come honestly before the Lord, just you and Him this morning. Just bring honestly your heart to Him. He doesn't condemn, He loves. He nurtures, He heals. He bounds up. I'm up here, heal your heart. And if your heart has lost that hope, if your heart has lost that faith and that ability to see the good, to see the Christ, to see the potential, it's just an honest moment for reflection, saying, Lord, I see this, forgive me and take it away. God, I do it just in the areas where I've lost heart to a big degree, Lord, and where I don't see Your God potential, where I don't see these people being fed or the miracle happening or the thing, this Red Sea opening, God, I just repent and I just ask in my life, restore unto me the eyes of Christ. In my family, restore unto us the eyes of Christ to see God's potential. And if we need those eyes, if we need that faith, if we need that hope, if we need that restoration, what do we do, guys? What do we do? We ask. We just ask a good Father. So in your own way, just ask Him. If you want Him to restore your eyes, and then to look at our country, politics, people, your loved one, even your spouse, your friend, your best friend that is not really your best friend anymore type of situation. Ask Him to look at them through the eyes of potential, the eyes of prophecy, just in this moment. Just in ending off, I just believe I can pray by just the authority of the Lord, that through His Spirit, just the following. Thank You, Lord. I just declare that hands off to the enemy that is trying to clog and suffocate and blind the eyes of the heart to see God's goodness, to see His ways, to see His word, to see and discern His Spirit. and to see his prophecies. I just say, eyes be opened, eyes be opened, eyes be opened in Jesus' name. And I just rebuke any spiritual lie, any spiritual bondage, and I send you to the feet of Christ now in this moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing and restoration now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And then I just plead the blood of Christ over us. We're a covenant people, a people called to see. A people called to see, to prophesy, to speak, to take hold of, to lay claim of the promised land, the promises of God, the identities, the truth of God and His will in our lives, in our families, and wherever He plants us in the communities we're in. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. If you need extra prayer, please come forward. And other than that, give a high five to the parents and a word of encouragement or a prophetic word if you have one. And then please have cake and coffee. And we see you guys next week. Enjoy your week. God bless.